This is music from Pedro Sá Moraes. Welcome to The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Simon Rentner. The Brazilian singer dares us and his people to make better music, seek the sublime in tradition, and open our heads to new ideas. Anthony Pirog is a guitarist who tells us, in his own words, about his own creative journey and where jazz and technology intersect. But first, it's audio wizardry with Joseph Brancifort. The engineer, drummer, and composer shares his invention of garage chamber jazz, the cellar and point. That's up next. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking in. Joseph Brancifort, thank you for joining us here on The Checkout. What do I call you? You do everything. You're like a superhero of music.
Well, I guess you could start with drummer.
The drummer of this recording called Ambit. The Cellar and Point is the name of this ensemble. It reminds me of an installation I might see at like the Dia Beacon or something.
I was just up there, yeah.
So what does this name mean? What are you trying to evoke here?
Well, I guess we've been asked that a few times, and I really would prefer to even just kind of leave it as an impressionistic type of name. It's not really meant to denote anything in particular.
The abstract imagery that
it's sort of more abstract, but we just like that it had a nice feel to it.
So you have described this kind of sound as garage chamber. Mm-hmm. And I like the way you sort of set it up, whose musical universe comprises the detail of modern concert music, improvisational downtown jazz, and the directness of alternative rock.
Yeah, I guess it's we're interested in a lot of music, as a lot of people in our generation. Part of the challenge and part of the fun of it is finding ways to have those universes intersect in a way that feels kind of organic, not forced, not like a collage, but something that has, a stamp of authenticity.
Thank you. So, Joseph, why don't you tell us who's in your group here, The Cellar and Point?
Alrighty. Well, we have on vibraphone Joe Bergen, Christopher Otto, and Kevin McFarland play violin and cello, respectively. They're from a group called the Jack Quartet. And then on two guitars, we have electric guitar Terrence McManus, and on acoustic guitar and banjo, and also the co-leader of the group and co-composed some of the material on the record is Christopher Bada. On bass, Rufus Philpott, and I'm on drums and some piano and keyboard instruments.
When I referred to you as a superhero before, not to make your head too big, but I kind of mean that because you're a multi-instrumentalist. You're also a producer, engineer. You actually got your training at Berklee College of Music in audio engineering. And one of the reasons why this record sounds so good and people say this record, it's like, well, this is maybe chamber music, but it's mixed with the kind of detail that you find in a lot of contemporary, say, rock groups. Mm. It's really a culmination of all of your talents.
Yeah. Yeah, the producing and engineering thing, I mean, I've been working at that now kind of in tandem with the composing and playing aspect of my life. But I think on this record, it all kind of came together. The compositions are sort of recorded and mixed in a way that, yeah, like you say, it's... there's sort of an attention to detail and a lot of overdubbing and layering that maybe you would associate more with rock records, electronic records. So there was a lot of fussing on this one.
Here's an example of that with Purple Octagon. Purple Octagon, Joseph Brancefort, the composer and instrumentalist for The Cellar and Point. So as a musician, are you a drummer first?
Yeah, I started on the kit.
Okay, because you're scaring me. Because if you would have said piano, then I would have been like, I don't know who I'm talking to. Some supervillain.
Well, that's what I'm aspiring to be, a supervillain. So yeah, I'm still working at that.
So you must have a degree in like music theory too.
Not really. I mean, that's sort of why we like that term garage chamber. There's definitely a garage ethos to this. And a lot of that, the compositional stuff, I've just kind of picked up by studying scores and on the fly. It's less formal, though. I mean, I have studied with some composers, but it's more just kind of a homegrown, if you want to call it that.
So when you went to Berklee College of Music, yeah. You clearly already had these gifts for music, yet you decided that you would study engineering instead.
Right. I kind of find all these things to be the same thing on some level, the composition, the producing, engineering, the playing. It's all, you know, creating sound, manipulating sound, creating documents of sound. So I don't really have that, you know, that rigid idea that each of these are separate paradigms. So I've always just tried to take a more organic approach and just learn whatever I can about all of them.
In the process of being an audio engineer, you came across this moment where you realized you actually messed up in the sampling
yeah.
cycle,
yeah.
which then informed the actual composition that came out of this.
Yeah, so we had this piece, the name of the record is Ambit. And we had this piece, probably the earliest piece that of music that we composed for the record. And we'd been working on this for a long time. And the version on the record sounds nothing like this version that we've been slaving over probably harder than anything on the record. Because one day we were reaching the end of mixing, and while we were in the studio, there was this sample rate error, which basically slowed down the entire recording by a little more than half the speed, so it really brought out some overtones and some aspects of the recording that we weren't hearing in the composition. So kind of had this moment where Chris and I both looked at each other and just said, man, this is like really happening. This is kind of beautiful and different. And then we ended up rewriting other parts over that slowed down version. So it was this really interesting process where we composed a layer, then there was this error, and then another layer composed on top of it, which gives this very strange type of hybrid sound.
So, Joseph, people may not know you directly in New York City's jazz community and may not think you're that heavily involved with it hearing this recording, but in fact, you have worked with Ben Maunder, Vijay Iyer, Tim Byrne, Mark Dresser, Nels Klein, Tyshawn Soray, yet you're doing more of this like classical music on the side.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the engineering aspect of my life, most of it, I mean, I would say at least 70, maybe 75% of it is jazz, and I love jazz, and, you know, that's a huge part of my life, and in on the engineering side, I've been fortunate to work with some of those great artists and learn from them in the studio and doing live recordings, so it's been still like I continue to learn from all of those guys that you just mentioned. But yeah, as far as this record, this is really the first document of my own music, music that I've composed and played on. So I think most people maybe in the jazz community would more know me as an engineer.
Thank you. from the Cellar and Point's debut recording, Ambit. Go to winterjazzfest.com to see where the band is playing this week. Coming up next, a guitarist, in his own words, describes his musical journey in Palo Colorado Dream, Anthony Pirog. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rettner.
Hi, I'm Anthony Pirog, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout. That was Song in 5 from my record, Palo Colorado Dream. My name is Anthony Pirog, and you're listening to my music. I currently live in Washington, D.C., or just outside of Washington, D.C., in Virginia. But when I was very young, I lived in the Carmel Valley area of California. And in a way, I still consider that my home. When I was young, my family and I would take weekend drives to Big Sur. And I just remember a place being very beautiful, and I just remember feeling very energized there. And I still have that feeling every time I go back. Big Sur to me is pretty much just the most beautiful place I've ever been, especially in the summer when the fog rolls in. There are just beautiful tall trees, and there are huge cliffs that you can stand on, and you can hear the ocean crashing against them below you. There are redwood trees, and the woods are just beautiful. It's just beautiful to walk around. And at night, you can stand off the side of Route 1, and there's nothing around, so it's pitch black, and the stars shine as though you're in a planetarium. It's just so clear, and you can hear the ocean. And I just always loved being there, and I always loved going back. It's kind of a place that I just always think about, you know. I just always want to go back there. Well, this recording as a whole was my attempt to kind of collect and show my various interests when it comes to learning and performing music. The songs were composed over a long period of time. This is really my first full-length release of songs that I've written as a band leader. I wrote the songs over the course of 10 years. So it's really a collection of what I've done up till now, and, you know, my interests have changed, obviously, over that course of that time. I recorded this record with Michael Formanek and Chess Smith, and they are two of my favorite musicians to listen to. I'm really just a huge fan of their work, both their work as sidemen and band leaders. And we had never played before as a trio before we got into the studio to track this record. So I wasn't exactly sure what to expect, but I know that I was very excited that I was going to have the opportunity to work with them. I just knew that I wasn't going to have to worry about what was going to happen. I just was excited to hear how the music would be performed. So when we got into the studio, everything was recorded as a first or second take. And I just remember, at least from my end, it was very easy because, I don't know, for me, it just felt like things moved in a natural way, and being, you know, the soloist on some of these tracks, I didn't have to kind of overplay to make seem like things are happening. There was just a really comfortable interplay with them, and it was just a really exciting experience for me. Anthony Pirog, you're listening to My Music. This is my record, Palo Colorado Dream, available on Cuneiform Records. The track Motion was based on some of Paul Motion's, or inspired by Paul Motion's, compositions that use just a unison line as a springboard for improvisation, like Fiasco or Congestion. Thank you. Well, Paul Motion's music was a big influence on me. I would go to the Village Vanguard while I was a student in New York, and I'd see the Electric Bebop band play, and I'd see the trio play with Joe Lovano and Bill Frisell. And I just thought that the music was, I just really liked it. I mean, I wasn't always sure what was going on because I'd never seen it, but I really liked, you know, the openness of the trio, how there would be multiple people soloing at the same time in the Electric Bebop band. And I just thought that the songs were really emotional, and they hit me in a way that, you know, it's like, it's what I wanted to hear, and it made me feel the way I wanted to feel while I was hearing it. It wasn't just challenging me, you know, intellectually as a musician. It had a lot of feeling in it. So that's what I was drawn to. Looping came into the picture while I was in music school. I think the first time, I mean, Frisell was the first person I heard using looping, and I just really liked the music and the effect that it had on the music. And so I started experimenting with it, and if I was playing a tune, I'd just try to figure out the notes that would fit across all of the changes and loop them in reverse, and then it would just be another nice thing to interact with. Because, you know, with the guitar, the notes decay and things kind of just come in and out of whatever you're playing, and it interacts nicely with the group and just it fills things out. I mean, I wasn't aware of, like, Robert Fripp or Frippertronics at that point. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's good to explore, like, all of the sonic, you know, possibilities for whatever instrument you have. I remember when I was really young too, I mean, when I talk about guitars and the different sounds, I remember being excited when I was in my early teens by electronic music because the sounds were fresh. It seemed like I was hearing sounds I had never heard. And that's always been an exciting part of music for me. The electronic music I'm referring to back then is basically anything on the radio. Like, there was a show on a radio station in D.C. that played really bizarre electronic music at midnight on Saturdays, so I'd stay up and listen to it, and I just wouldn't understand what I was hearing, and that was exciting to me. Later, a group like Boards of Canada, Boards of Canada is a big influence on me and my music. And a lot of that had to do with the tones and the sounds that they were using, like old analog synths, and the sound was decayed and lo-fi and warbly. And they used interesting chord progressions that just didn't sound common, and there would be melodies that would rub against the chords that didn't, they sounded strange, but it sounded really, really cool too. I have no real idea or reason that I can give you as to why I play music. I just feel like I have to. I've always enjoyed it. Ever since I picked up a guitar, I've known that it's what I wanted to do. I wrote all of these songs for me, so I wasn't really thinking about an audience when I was composing the material. I was just reacting to maybe an idea that presented itself while I had the guitar in my hand. I guess I started to think about the audience once I had to think about track order. So that's when I started considering the listener, because I understand that, you know, 40 minutes of someone's time is a lot to ask. And I wanted it to be, you know, an interesting and enjoyable experience. So the track order of the album was important to me, and I wanted to kind of like create a storyline where things seem settled in the beginning and inviting. And as the album progresses, it gets stranger and stranger and a little bit wilder. And I guess I just wanted to ease people into like what I'm into. I'm Anthony Pirog on The Checkout, and thank you for listening to my music.
Music from Anthony Pirog's recording Palo Colorado Dream. You can see the guitarist at the 2015 Winter Jazz Festival in New York. More info at winterjazzfest.com. Special thanks to Kyle Eagle and Jenna Ipkar for producing that segment. Coming up next, a Brazilian singer on a mission, Pedro Sá Moraes. He speaks with our producer, Tim Wilkins, about his own music. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rettner. Musicians of all stripes gather here in New York City every January as they try to catch the ears of concert programmers who attend APAP, the Association of Performing Arts Presenters. During this annual conference, Brazil sponsors its own showcase, and it's curated by singer-songwriter Pedro Sá Moraes. He speaks with our producer, Tim Wilkins, about his own music.
Pedro Sá Moraes, singer, composer, songwriter from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Thanks for joining us on The Checkout.
Thank you, Tim. And
Thank you, WBGO, for opening this beautiful space for us to share a little bit about contemporary Brazilian music.
You're the organizer of the Brazilian Explorative Music Showcase. What is explorative music?
It's about a whole generation that during and after what everyone knows about Brazilian music, after Bossa Nova, after Tropicália, people continued creating and continued relating in creative ways with the Brazilian traditions. So let's put together a Brazilian showcase. It's going to be one particular take on contemporary Brazilian music, and I called it explorative. My intention was to show American audiences and American trendsetters this portrait of this generation of people who are pushing forward Brazilian music without divorcing from our wealthy history and tradition.
Sangue me ferveu na veia ainda agora, ó minha senhora, não tem sentimento. O coração quase pulou boca fora, fascina e apavora o teu movimento. Arrebaça e mal nem pisa o chão, perdição. Marcela chegou pra rodar no meu terreiro, a cobracinha Marcela, espuma do mar de fevereiro. A saia gira amarela, é jogo de azar, é feiticeira. Vira da minha costela, requebra assim a só da bandeira. Um brilho no olhar, ai por meu santo amaro. Esse amor tão raro que não tem mais fim. Seu colo de princesa, essa chama acesa, quero ter pra mim, Marcelo. Senhora, não tem sentimento. O coração quase pulou boca fora, fascina e apavora o teu movimento. Arrebaça e mal nem pisa o chão, perdição. Marcela, no som do ganzá, do candongueiro, do prato, faca e panela, no meu paladar, o seu tempero. De cravo, dendê, canela, se o vento apagar o candeeiro. Agarro as cadeiras dela, no jogo do laço cavaleiro, no lombo dessa gazela. Ai, por meu santo amaro, esse amor tão raro que não tem mais fim. Seu colo de princesa, essa chama acesa, quero ter. Pra mim, Marcela, Marcela, Marcela.
That was Marcela by our guest on the checkout, Brazilian singer-songwriter Pedro Samurais. Pedro, is there an approach to music that you share with other artists of your generation?
We wanted to be, and we felt ourselves to be free from the dictatorship of hype and market. And we wanted to write music that freed the spirit, either by beauty or by strangeness, if that had to be so.
Free from the constraints of the Brazilian commercial landscape.
Exactly.
Seen from the outside, that may sound a bit surprising because certainly many of the Brazilian artists who Americans and others around the world have become familiar with are artists with
tremendous freedom and creative
and achievements. Antonio Carlos Jobim. Yeah.
How old are they?
Caetano Veloso.
How old are they? When did they come about? When did they have, you know, permission to do that? All of the names that you mentioned are over 60, and actually most of them are approaching their 70s, and some of them are gone already. They came in a different time, and they still have permission to do what they do because they have become anointed
with the sacredness of cult of their, you know, of the masters, and they earned it and they deserved it. But if you're not over 60, it's not really easy to be explorative.
Corações, as milhões de opções atuais. Não tem mais restrições sexuais, não tem mais versos bons ou banais, distinções, aliás, de 1800. Verdadeiros sentimentos não admitem restrições.
Não tem mais coronéis, não tem mais comissões paroquiais. Não tem mais nem latins, nem camões no colégio. Nós temos o privilégio de servir aos corações as milhões de opções atuais. Não tem mais restrições sexuais, não tem mais versos bons ou banais, distinções, aliás, de 1900. Verdadeiros sentimentos não admitem restrições. Ah, as revoluções, nossos pais, seus refrões, ideais, seus vilões, seus heróis, triunfais. Nunca mais tradições, nunca mais sutiãs, nunca mais. E olha nós, girls and boys, quando olhamos para trás, o passado é um mito, bonito demais. E o presente é um sítio de vídeos virais. E essa marcha ao revés, a que vem, o que traz? Essa marcha em três, pra ninguém, pra vocês. Essa marcha ímpar não quer que o mundo mude, mas sabe que a inquietude é uma flor a se plantar.
That was Não Quer Que O Mundo Mude, Don't Want the World to Change, by our guest on the checkout, Pedro Samurais. Pedro, that was certainly an ear opener. What's that song about?
It's a political song. In Brazil, we had 20 years of military dictatorship and some like 25 years in which we didn't have presidential elections. And I'm commemorating freedom and democracy and at the same time questioning whether we might not live in a different kind of dictatorship now, a dictatorship of breaking free from traditional paternalistic culture and the prevalence of social and cultural transformation values over spiritual values.
And for those of us who don't speak Portuguese, what do those lyrics mean?
Lyrics say there are no longer parochial commissions deciding what we should and should not do. There's no longer Latin or Camões in school. Camões is like the sort of the founding father of Portuguese language and poetry. like the Brazilian equivalent to Shakespeare. There are no longer sexual restrictions, which, by the way, belong in the 1800s, because true feelings, they don't accept restrictions. Oh, and revolutions, our parents, their refrains, their ideals, their villains, their heroes, their triumphant villains. Never more traditions, never more brassieres. And look at us, girls and boys. This odd march does not want the world to change. Forgive me if I sounded rude. It is my way of loving.
O tempo traz verões, verás se as noites seguem-se as manhãs de fibras e materiais do que será. Seguem-se as manhãs de fibras e materiais do que será capaz pelas mãos artesãs. Os reis, os réus, nascemos nus no tempo singular de Deus. As ambições, a cruz, os vales e apogeus, pêndulos breus e azuis. Como um prisioneiro nosso, mas
tempo atrás, a relação das órbitas e a previsão dos temporais, revoluções de anseios bons e trágicos. O tempo traz como espirais, canções, canções e dúvidas.
That was Para Nós, For Us, by our guest on the checkout, Pedro Samorais. Pedro, you set the bar, artistically speaking, very high for yourself and for your generation. Why?
Art happens when you're not just portraying what you see. Art happens when you, either out of reality or out of the absolute freedom of the symbols that your mind can create, you make an object become alive and invite this person for a refreshed perspective on life and the world. And I do see that throughout the history of Brazilian popular music.
And is there something that you and other Brazilian explorative musicians want the world to know?
We want to create powerful art, and we need to strive for that. To not be afraid of the vertical dimension of music making, to be moved by and to try to have an intimate discussion within the soul with all the masters that have moved our hearts to tears. It's transcendence, and I'm going to use whatever tools are available, but I'm not going to have the tools be in front of my quest for the transcendence.
Pedro Moraes, Brazilian composer, singer-songwriter, organizer of the Explorative Brazilian Music Showcase. Thank you so much for joining us on WBGO.
Thank you, Tim.
Uma menina e a cidade passando no meio, e a verdade batendo de quina na cavidade do meu anseio. Vontade pisada no freio, na cidade que é meio ruína e meio saudade do que não veio. Pela vidraça, toda pressa da gente que passa, e o progresso cuspindo fumaça nas esquinas da minha cabeça. E essa moça eu nem mesmo conheço, mas sua história mal logo termina de se representar, rebobina como cinema em minhas retinas. Tira do armário um vestido de naftalina ao encontro do amor operário que se desfaz na próxima esquina. Clandestino.
Music from Pedro Samorais' album Beyond the Pleasure Principle. The singer performs at New York City's Le Poisson Rouge January 12th at 6 p.m. The Checkout is a podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a shout out while you're there. Give us a review. We are also online at checkoutjazz.org. Follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. I'm on Twitter too at Simon Rentner. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for listening.